Senate Committee on Redistricting for May 24, 2011.
And I'm opening the House Redistricting Committee for the exact same date and time.
And we have a bit of housekeeping to take care of. It will be very brief, and then we'll begin with the testimony. We have an appendix that we're proposing to add to our committee rules. This is the technical process for amendment preparation to redistricting bills, and it has been circulated to the committee members and Vice Chair Telfer. I would entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt Appendix B, Technical Process for Amendment Preparation to Redistricting Bills, as an appendix to the Senate Redistricting Committee Rules.
Vice Chair Telfer moves to adopt Appendix B, Technical Process for Amendment Preparation to Redistricting Bills, as an appendix to the Senate Redistricting Committee Rules. Is there any discussion? No discussion. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, the rule is adopted.
And Mr. Co-Chair, do you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, I move to adopt Appendix B, Technical Process for Amendment Preparation to Redistricting Bills, as an appendix to the House Redistricting Committee Rules.
Co-Chair Garrett moves to adopt Appendix D, Technical Process for Amendment Preparation to Redistricting Bills, as an appendix to the House Redistricting Committee Rules. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the Appendix B is adopted.
Thank you, everyone. I wanted to make a few preliminary comments before we begin taking testimony. As you know, some different maps have been proposed, and I want to emphasize proposed. The hearing this evening is to get input on those proposals or on your own thoughts and ideas. Your testimony does not need to be limited to those proposals. If you have better ideas, we certainly welcome them. I'm going to ask you to be respectful and polite and not accusatory toward any member or political party. It's more helpful to the committee if you can be specific with your comments and not just say, I like this plan or I don't like that plan. We have several requirements in our Oregon law. You should have received that as a handout. Are there some over on the table there? Yes, okay, there's some handouts over there on the table that have the requirements of the Oregon law, and one in particular I would like to emphasize, and that's the communities of interest provision. We've had a lot of testimony over the last several months on communities of interest, and the statute says each district as nearly as practicable shall not divide communities of common interest. This does not mean that a district must be one community of interest or that a district can contain only one unique community of interest. I'm going to need to limit testimony this evening to 2 minutes. We want to hear from everyone who is here. If you have written testimony, make sure that you hand it to Aaron, who's Shelley, who's over there on the side. It will be entered into the record, so please, you do not need to read your testimony. It will be part of the record. It will be more helpful if you summarize your testimony, and that will leave us an opportunity for some dialogue, for some questions and answers, questions from the committee, and a time to respond to those from you. So I'm going to ask the committee members to limit questions, if you can, to those that are necessary for clarification, because we want to make sure we hear from everyone who is here. We are scheduled to go until 7. I'm certainly willing to stay later than that if we need to do that. I also want to let the people who are here know that the Senate is at 5:30 having a floor session, and some of the senators may need to get up and go over to the floor for a vote or two. That does not mean that we aren't interested in your testimony, so I just wanted to let you know that ahead of time. Okay, we'll begin with the two representatives who are here. And then we'll go through the list. I believe we have Representative Kenemer and Representative Wand. Oh, is Representative Johnson here as well? Is Representative Johnson here? I thought he was going to be here. He may be running late. And I want to let people know I call the representatives first because they have other legislative business to attend to. And then we'll go through the list after their testimony. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, co-chairs, members of the committees. For the record, Bill Kenemer, State Representative, District 39. I have prepared written testimony for you. I will try to highlight it because I think it is important for the record. I think that under the two options that were presented earlier, I believe option two presents the best effort in maintaining the legislative district that respects communities of common interest and is not divided by major river, the interstate freeway, or influenced inappropriately by political or party considerations. I have serious concerns about option number one, however. I think that it violates, in principle, many of the redistricting criteria. It changes the district from its current composition, which includes two school districts, to actually four. It crosses over I-205 and the Clackamas River, which are natural dividers. However, it does maintain an appropriate divider as the Willamette River. Also, I would point out that these new areas that are being added to what was previously District 39 are served by different police, school, fire, and municipal governments, all of whom do not share similar and significant communities of interest with the current district and do not meet statutory language regarding not dividing communities of common interest. And the historic common areas of interest of the communities of Oatfield areas are also similarly disregarded and divided in option one. I think, finally, need to speak to the issue of gerrymandering. I believe is, in fact, accomplished with this proposed House District 40 option. A less than 2% current registration advantage for the Democrats is taken to an inappropriately politicized 14% level under this proposal. I think evidently and undeniably option one is politics over substance and a clear political reflection and commentary on the relationship, political difficulties between the House Democrat leader and myself. State law is clear that redistricting process cannot benefit or favor a political party or an incumbent. Clearly option one benefits an incumbent and a political party which drafted option one. I guess in closing, I would join with the Statesman Journal and many others in urging you to put politics aside when redistricting. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Question. And we'll hear from Representative Wand and then take questions. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Senator Von Armici. I'm Matthew Wand, State Representative from House District 49, residing in Troutdale. I'm here today to talk to you a little bit about my hometown, the city of Troutdale. We are small, but we are mighty. It's a 6-square-mile city that has less than 16,000 people. And the city of Troutdale has a long and storied history. I was actually on the committee to celebrate its centennial birthday about 4 years ago. We have brought to this body, my body, Representative Glenn Otto and Senator Glenn Otto, who was a friend of my grandparents. It is disheartening to me that in option one, the city of Troutdale is carved up into two different districts. To my knowledge and to the knowledge of the folks that I have spoken with, never in the history of Troutdale has it been in more than one legislative district. And quite simply, there is no good reason why the Troutdale community of interest would ever be in more than one legislative district. After all, it is 6 square miles and has 16,000 people approximately. In option one's map, half of it is sent over to House District 52. and I'd like to talk a little bit about the neighborhood that is carved out of my city and moved to a different district. It's called the Sweetbriar neighborhood. Sweetbriar has an interesting history. In the 1970s, it was one of the first subdivisions, modern subdivisions, in the Troutdale area. What it has are no sidewalks. It has slightly wider streets, rounded curbs, and parking pads at the actual lot. It was innovative for the time. It has an elementary school, the Sweetbriar Elementary School, that is all carpeted, including in the gym. It was one of our visionary and first modern subdivisions, and it is as much a part of Troutdale as the downtown area. To carve that out divides the community of interest improperly. Secondly, I'd like to point out that in option number one, the southern boundary is predominantly Division Street to Burnside to Stark Street, which makes good sense, and that's the same southern boundary, roughly speaking, in option number two. But if you look at option number one, for some reason that makes no sense to me, there is one tiny neighborhood south of Division that is included in House District 49 in Gresham. Now, for the life of me, I can't understand why you would have Division as the southern boundary, which makes perfect sense. It's five lanes, It's a major thoroughfare, two lanes in each direction, turn lane in the middle. That makes perfect sense for a southern boundary, but why would you jog across that and include one neighborhood, especially when you are excluding the Sweetbriar neighborhood from House District 49? It simply makes no sense. If you look at option two has a much more proper east and southern and northern boundary. The northern boundary is the Columbia River. The eastern boundary is predominantly the Sandy River. The southern boundary follows Division, Burnside, and Stark Street, mostly. There's one little area that it couldn't quite jog. Those are all proper. They are natural boundaries that keep all three small cities together, Fairview, Wood Village, and Troutdale. The southern boundary are major thoroughfares, and then it is only the western boundary that is kind of jagged to make the right amount of people. That's a necessary evil, I suppose, because of the nature of making sure that we have the right number of people in each district. One of the boundaries has to be jagged. We did that on the west side with option two, and that's more proper. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And I'm going to ask the committee members, if you have some questions, if you could do that quickly, because we have other people here who need to get to the floor who want to get some testimony in, and a lot of people waiting to testify. So, Representative Lindsay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wong, just really quickly, Sweetbriar, is that the Mount Hood Community College, Stark Street, Troutdale Road area?
Yes, Sweetbriar is east of Troutdale Road and south of Stark Street.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. I'm going to have Senator Johnson and Senator Cruz come up because I know you need to get to the floor, and we have Representative Johnson here as well. Do you want to come up with the senators?
What you call a representative between two senators?
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mark Johnson, representative for House District 52. Thanks for the accommodation, and thanks for your service. I just want to say you guys, I know, are working as hard or harder than any committee in the building. I appreciate what you do. I'm here to specifically to talk about the proposed changes to House District 52, and I guess I'm referring to the map that would be, I guess for a better way to say it, the Democrat proposal, I guess, so you know what map we're looking at. So my comments will focus basically on a couple of areas. One would be in Hood River County. There is a proposal to encroach into District 52 with a small, into Hood River County portion of District 52 with a small little annex or beachhead, if you will, that will be a portion of House District 59. This, I think, violates your stated objective of trying to keep communities of interest together. That part of Hood River County that's proposed to go into District 59, for want of a better word, would be referred to as kind of Boardhead Central in Hood River, Oregon, meaning this is a place of you have mountain bikers, windsurfers, kiteboarders, very, very athletic, outdoor-minded folks who consider them to be a member of the gorge.
That's right,
it's far different than what you see in those communities of interest to the east of us, who most more likely are going to be more in tune with wheat farming, very agrarian, pursuit of activities and so forth. So not only do you have different communities of interest, you would then have different school districts represented there. In fact, one of my co-school board members resides in that area for Hood River County School Board. It encroaches, those people definitely, those residents certainly consider themselves to be a part of Hood River. They look down on the city proper of Hood River from that hill, if you will. It's just the hill to the east of Hood River. So, again, I think it really is not a community of interest that's in the best interest of whomever is representing House District 59 to be able to have to go into Hood River County now to get familiar with the city government, a school district, and all that up that goes with that. The other attention I would focus would be to the west side boundaries of House District 52. You heard earlier, just recently, from Representative Wan referencing the Sweetbriar neighborhood, where the map proposes that Sweetbriar would come into House District 52. That is a very suburban, kind of densely packed neighborhood in Troutdale that is very, very unlike anything else that's in that western part of House District 52. As you go across the other side of this Sandy River there, you're into Corbett, Springdale, very, sparsely populated, very agriculture-based communities, not at all like that heavily populated, dense area there in Sweetbriar. So, again,
Representative, I'm sorry to do this, but I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up because we set a time limit, and I want to be
fair
to
everyone. One more comment is just that pushing the boundary then up to Highway 26, which would remove the community of Boring, the agricultural community of Boring from House District 52, separates that basically from the city of Sandy. There's a very linked community of interest between Boring and Sandy. They attend the same Oregon Trail School District, share common interests of agriculture, business, and transportation, and I will finish with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And we'll hear from the senators and then take some questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I currently represent Senate District 16. I want to thank the committee for their hard work in this complex mosaic that is redistricting. I appreciate the fact that you heard from Oregonians in the communities where they live and work by taking the committee on the road. However, I believe that I have a responsibility to the constituents I serve to give voice to their concerns about both Senate Plan 1 and Senate Plan 2. Senate Plan 1 splits Tillamook County at the city of Tillamook, going north and south. This plan is not good news for South Tillamook County. Out of respect for your time, I would like to enter into the record a guest editorial for the Headlight Herald prepared by Doug Olson and dated May 15, 2011, as well as supplemental testimony from the Tillamook County Commissioners as Commissioner Mark Labhart, when he appeared before you on May the 20th, was not allowed to complete his oral presentation given the time constraints. These two documents summarize Tillamook County's objections to being divided. Senate Plan 2 divides Columbia County between two congressional districts and associates rural Columbia County with heavily metropolitan Portland. While the mighty Columbia River is a common geographic feature, there are no other criteria that create communities of common interest save the existence of Highway 30. I know your job is difficult, and any modest modification to any one part of the puzzle creates a cascading effect of other problems. I do appreciate the fact that Plan 1 creates three coastal Senate districts. However, it does so by sacrificing the interests of the citizens of Tillamook County. I have entered these two documents into the record and respectfully ask that they be considered in your future deliberations as the redistricting efforts continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator. And I wanted to, just before Senator Cruz, I wanted to mention that we have staff who are showing the maps. They're doing their best to make sure that they're showing you the maps that the witnesses are talking about. So if there's any confusion about that, please let us know and we'll have clarification from our staff over here who's attempting to show you which proposal the witness is talking about. They're doing a great job. Senator Cruz, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Jeff Cruz, currently Senate District 1, which is southwest coast for the map people. I also want to thank you for your hard work, and it's been my honor to represent the South Coast for 8 years now, and they're great people, and we've got a good working relationship, but I also heard what they said. When this committee was in Coos Bay, and they want coastal representation. I do not live on the coast, and I will live with whatever map ends up being drawn, but I think we need to listen to the people and what their desires are. But I'd also like to speak to House District 1 and the Democrat map on that that has Representative Krieger, who lives in Gold Beach, connected with Cave Junction. And interestingly enough, the only way to get from Gold Beach to Cave Junction is to go through California. And I'm really not sure we want... Well, actually, he could go north and make it a longer route. But the quickest route is to go through California. And I'm not sure that necessarily meets the standard of the transportation links. But also, interestingly, in northern Douglas County, there's three small communities that are within 10 miles of each other, Yoncalla Drain and Elkton. And Representative Krieger represents Elkton, not the other two. So there's some major problems with the way that map is drawn. I hope they get fixed. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Committee members, any questions for our panel? Wow, they're getting off the hook. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We're going to start down the list. I'm going to call three people at a time. If I call you together, it doesn't mean that you're all going to have the same opinion or that you came together. I'm just going in the order in which people signed in. So we're going to start with the first three, which are Rebecca Gladstone, Michelle Varid and Celine Swenson Harris, I believe. And I hope I got your names right. If you'll start by stating your name for the record, please, that would be helpful.
My name is Rebecca Gladstone. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for entertaining this committee hearing. I have brief remarks. I'd like to address one remark for House District, one for Senate District, one for Congressional District. With respect to House districts in my area, somebody already said the G word, gerrymandering, and I have to call attention to this, that our Representative Val Hoyle has been in one of the proposals districted out of her proposal by 5 feet. It seems ridiculous, and I'm sorry to see it. I don't understand what the reasoning is for it. I'd be interested in hearing if anybody has defense for it. I think it's kind of ridiculous. For Senate districts, option two puts Chris Edwards and Lee Beyer, Lee Beyer is my senator, into the same Senate district. I don't understand why that's happening either, and I don't see a good reason for that to happen. For congressional districts, I support option two. For my congressional district, CD4, I like seeing, you're talking about areas of common interest, I like seeing Corvallis, Albany, and Lebanon being united. I think that makes sense. It doesn't affect my county Lane very much because it would be in CD4 either way, but I think that would be a good move with respect to that part of it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
My name is Michelle Varid, and I'm from Eugene. And I was here to talk about the fact that there are communities on the edge of Eugene and nearby outside the city limits for Senate District 6 that share common interests with the city of Eugene that are excluded from being in the same districts. Like, for example, with education, I attend South Eugene High School, and the 4J School District would be divided under Plan 2. It would be divided so that the more rural areas of the district would be not in the same Senate district. So I feel like that is a area of common interest. 25% of the people who attend the school district live outside the city limits, so I think that having a map, the first option, which includes some areas nearby to the city of Eugene and outside, they share that common interest of education and also economic interests, where people who live outside what Map 2 has as Senate District 6 generally work in Eugene, come into Eugene to work, like some of my teachers and my neighbors do. So I feel that they should be included in the same district.
Thank you very much.
My name is Celine Swenson Harris. I'm also a South Eugene High School student in the city of Eugene. And I want to talk a little bit about some issues affecting my House district. The city of Elmira, which is pretty small and right now in House District 8 with Vinita, it will be split into four different districts. And I just don't see a reason why such a small community that seems like it's all unified as one community of interest would need to be split into four different districts. That makes it difficult for them to be able to communicate, be able to discuss politics with one another if they have four different representatives that they're knocking doors for, that they're talking about the issues with. In fact, I think that option two just changes a little too much. About 1 million people would be put into new districts, which seems kind of ridiculous, especially with the example of Elmira, where those people don't need to be in different districts and they should be able to communicate with one another and have the same district as each other. And then I'd also like to talk about Val Hoyle being redistricted into District 8. I think that's unfair, and I think that even though I'm just a high school student, I still don't see any reason why they'd need to do that. 5 feet just doesn't seem like it's that much, and they should be able to find it someplace else.
Well, thank you for your testimony. And I don't think you should say that you're just a high school student. I'm very glad that there are high school students who are interested in the topic of redistricting. I find it quite refreshing. And I think that you have the axemen, right, South Eugene?
Yes.
Any questions for this panel?
Yes, I have.
Representative Lindsey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, thank you for being here. I think it's absolutely wonderful. I was not doing this while I was in high school. I should have been. So, first of all, I just want to answer some of the questions on the 5 feet. First of all, I'm not sure it's accurate to say it was just 5 feet. That's number one. Number two, it was not intentional. I think the intent was to is that University of Oregon itself, the law school is one district and the stadium is another district. The intent was trying to put University of Oregon together as one community of interest. I just wanted to clarify that. But the question I had for you, I'm sorry, I forgot your name, was Lebanon, Albany, Corvallis, you said you thought that would be good to have them in one congressional district. If we were to do that, what about Sweet Home, and how far do you take that down? Because I understand Sweet Home has a lot more in common with Lebanon than Lebanon has with Albany, and then Albany has more with Corvallis.
Are you talking about House District?
I'm talking about congressional districts.
Congressional districts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't know about Sweet Home.
Okay, well, and let's talk about House District then.
Sweet Home is part of House District 11 at this point.
I guess my question is would Sweet Home and Lebanon be proper to put them together? Is it imperative to try to keep if they were in separate districts, would it be dividing a community of interest in your opinion?
When I think about this, I'm sorry, I'm not a politician. I think about air pollution. And is there field burning? I would look at how the field burning goes there and also the agricultural activities there.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. The next three on the list are Richard, it looks like Cundiff, Willis Van Dusen, and Peter Rusko. Come on up. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Should I go first? My name is Richard Cundiff. I'm a resident of Eugene, House District 11, Senate District 6. I just want to speak to the issue in House District 11 and 6 of, you know, the idea of travel sheds. You know, throughout House District 11 and the 6th Senate District, we have towns and cities like Cresswell, Brownsville, Sotaville, Eugene, of course, and Springfield, and these are very viable, mature communities that with a great deal of interactions and things. We have many things in common. For example, Pleasant Hill has farming, does grass seed farms. As communities north and areas north of Brownsville, and also, for example, we have a lot of addresses of people who live in House District 11, but actually live in Shedd and Harrisburg. And so this is a very, very large district, but it's also a district that's very mature, and it has many interrelationships. People work, and I have a friend who lives in House District 11 in Eugene and works in Pleasant Hill. I have a friend in Brownsville, works at the University of Oregon. So this is a thing about a mature community with it many interrelationships that should be kept together. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Van Dusen?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I am...
You don't need to be that close. If you back up just a little bit.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is this better?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. I am Willis Van Dusen. I'm the mayor of Astoria. And I appreciate all of you serving on the committee. And I will make my comments brief. The city of Astoria unanimously opposes any redistricting that would separate us from the river. We just had a celebration you may have seen with the oldest American settlement west of the Rocky Mountains, 200 years old, and John Jacob Astor came to Astoria because of the river. And so I was trying to think how I could be brief today and make my point. So we asked the public works crews to go take one of these off our power poles for the recording. I'm going to hold up a banner to show we're a river city. I mean, this is a river anchor. We are a river city.
Mayor, can I have you go closer to the microphone just because we record everything you're saying?
I understand. So. And for the recording, I'm holding a banner that usually goes on a power pole. But we are a river city. We're connected to Longview, St. Helens, Scappoose. We're not a beach city. We're not a beach town. And we're just now exporting logs. The Port of Astoria is exporting logs. Across the river, there's Kalama and Longview and Vancouver. And we need to have the same representation on the river, not on the beaches. And that's for both the House and the Senate. And that's the point I want to make. Astoria is a river city, not a beach city. And thank you very much.
Appreciate your testimony. Thank you. And congratulations on the on the celebration. I read a lot about it. Sounds great. Next, Mr. Roscoe.
Hi, my name is Peter Roscoe, and I have the pleasure of serving on the city council with Mayor Van Dusen. I also taught him how to shoot a jump shot in his driveway when we were little kids. But, you know, Madam Chair and the committee, my heart goes out to you because you've spent so much time on this redistricting only to have a bunch of people come and tell you what you did wrong. But this is wrong. The people in Astoria really feel that this is not right for them, particularly in the House District. We don't want to be cut off. We want the Port of Astoria to be contiguous all the way with all the other ports on the river. And both plans on the House District, Plan 1 and Plan 2, remove that option. And I think they create potentially sort of a real conflict, a Solomon's choice, splitting the child. If you, on those plans, when you take House District 32 and give it all of Clatsop and all of Tillamook counties, you're setting that person, whoever it may be, up to potentially have to decide between the Port of Tillamook and the Port of Astoria. And I don't think in a funding decision you want to put somebody in that position. So I think it's very important that you don't do that. And the other thing is that historically, and I see my light coming on, historically there was opposition in the past to having two state representatives in Clatsop County, but we in Clatsop County actually feel that that is really working in our favor, to have two strong advocates for our community here in Salem is a benefit, not a bad thing. So I don't know how I suggest that you rewrite it, but particularly on the House District, I think it needs to be redrawn somehow, and we absolutely do not want to lose our current state senator, Betsy Johnson, from our district. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. And I want to say you brought up a very interesting point. We heard a lot about when we were out doing our field hearings. Some people said, we don't want you to split this area. We want cohesive representation with one representative. On the other hand, sometimes it's beneficial to have more than one voice looking out for an area. So
it definitely
it's
is.
Just an issue that we've been considering a lot. So appreciate your testimony.
Thank
Any
you.
Questions for this panel? Representative Lindsay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You just held up a sign, Mr. Mayor, and I saw it said Astoria and Warrenton. Currently, Astoria and Warrenton are in two separate districts. Would you say that dividing, if Astoria and Warrenton were not in the same House district or Senate district, would that be dividing the community of interest?
The sign I held up was paid for by the Astoria Warrenton Chamber of Commerce. And so I think having Warrenton and Astoria divided, that Warrenton is on the beach. It's on the mouth of the river, but it's a coastal city. Fort Stevens is there. So that is not what I'm advocating for. I'm trying to advocate that the city of Astoria stay with the district with the river. You're very observant, but that's why it's Astoria Warrenton. We have a joint chamber, but I'm not, you know, it's not my prerogative to speak for Warrenton.
Sure.
If I may address that, I think that's a great point. That shows you actually the strength of having dual representation.
Thank you.
I think we're duly represented as a chamber, and we're duly represented in Salem, and we want to keep it that way. And just one last comment, if I may. This whole realignment is so, in a way, earth-shattering to us. And we've got so many things in play and in momentum. Please try and find it a different way to go.
Appreciate your testimony. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. Our next panel will be Ray Phelps, Brendan Monahan, and Casey, looks like, Flesh. Welcome to the committee. Who would like to go first? Mr. Phelps?
Yes, thank you. This is my second appearance before this committee. My name is Ray Phelps. I'm representing the Wilsonville Chamber of Commerce, and I'm the past president. I have prepared before you, and I'm in support of option two with minor adjustments, which the city of Wilsonville will address. And I have a two-page testimony. The first page repeats what I had said before and reflects in option two that information. On April the 14th, we made a presentation to the Metro Council based entirely on the letter that I presented to you on April the 9th. On May 19th, the Metro Council approved ordinance number 11-1261, and you have copies of all this material, reflecting that testimony and combining the whole cities of Wilsonville, Tualatin, and Sherwood into one district, including several north of Tualatin, Tigard, Beaverton, for example. For your information, it may interest you to know, particularly the persons in the Senate, that right now a Metro Council district is just 7,000 people short of two whole state Senate districts. And furthermore, the Metro Council received written testimony from three jurisdictions, the City of Tigard, City of Beaverton, City of Wilsonville, City of Hillsborough, and the City of Portland, all embracing the map that's attached to your materials. And I'm attaching a letter from the Board of Directors of the Tualatin Chamber of Commerce, who also support the map you have in front of you. And lastly, from a historical perspective, I want to congratulate you for working on single-member districts for the fifth time in the history of Oregon. So this is still an evolving process. We're not nearly as sophisticated sometimes as the folks back east, but then means we must do it right again. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Brendan?
Thank you, honorable members. My name is Brendan Monahan. I am a graduate student at Portland State, speaking on my own behalf. It's come to my attention, as I'm sure it has yours, that this body has not done its constitutional duty and redrawn the state legislative and congressional districts since the Second World War, which is fine. We know you're all busy people. You have budgets to draft, programs to fund, state soils to recognize, all of it very time-consuming and contentious. But today, you have a unique opportunity to set petty, partisan, and incumbent protecting differences aside and draw new districts that serve the interests of all Oregonians. Or at least you did. None other than Jeff Mapes of the Oregonian broke the story on these maps and called our attention to how brazenly partisan they actually were. On top of that, some very small communities of interest get divided in apparent defiance of Oregon law. Lakeview has two seats. Forest Grove has three. I'd never heard of Nashville, Oregon, and couldn't find its population on the U.S. Census page, but apparently it's big enough to be split in two. Which leads me to the congressional districts. Since the Warren Court handed down a trio of landmark cases, there has been no more paramount legal constitutional principle to our Congress than one man, one vote. Whether we're black or white, rich or poor, urban or rural, all our votes count the same. So why is it that 15% of the state's population still controls 60% of the seats? Voters in Dayton and Dallas, Oregon, by the way, have their votes continued to be nullified by distant Democrat Portland, with which they have nothing in common. Thankfully, this isn't true of voters in Hood River. When I attended The Ohio State University, I lived in another city that was cracked between three congressional districts, and the Democrats called it gerrymandering. In my email testimony, you received or should have received what I created in an afternoon, what has apparently eluded this chamber for the past six decades. The districts drawn with the help of Dave's redistricting software are done without regard to party ID or incumbent residency, and most importantly, keep communities of interest together. They're based on existing precinct lines, so I can't draw them to take in a state senator's driveway and front lawn, but move their living room to a different district. All kidding aside, in the spirit of Atticus Finch, in the name of God, do your duty.
For your testimony. Mr. Flesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I testified before you a few weeks ago at Clackamas Community College in Oregon City. At that time, I praised you for reaching out so well to all Oregonians by holding your hearings in different parts of the state. I also said that it's important that this process be done by the legislature, the people's body, this time around. Unfortunately, it seems in just a few weeks, the process has once again devolved into a partisan fight, with one side in particular doing everything it can to draw district lines that are anything in line with the law, anything but in line with the law. The current option one regarding my house, District 39, is a joke, and those who came up with it should be ashamed of themselves. House District 39 currently includes the communities of Canby and Oregon City, as well as the large rural area between them. It is bounded on the west and north by natural boundaries that have existed since long before Oregon became a state. Perhaps you've heard of them. They're called the Willamette and Clackamas Rivers. For hundreds of years, they've formed a natural barrier, and even today can only be crossed at a handful of locations in the area. The farmland between Oregon City and Canby is so productive because of the Willamette. And if one drives between the cities of Oregon City and Canby on Highway 99E, our main transportation link, you hardly notice the difference between the communities. Option 1 proposal for House District 39 destroys this natural cohesion in favor of joining Oregon City with Gladstone, crossing the Clackamas River to do so. One can only wonder why until one realizes where one member of the Democratic Party happens to live and where my current representative lives. If there is a less devious reason for the dramatically different drawing of district lines in this area, then it isn't obvious to me, and it wasn't part of the testimony I heard when you met in Oregon City. What I did hear then was that districts should be drawn so that communities of interest are in the same district. So let me be clear. I believe option one was drawn for the simple reason of protecting a certain representative seat, an ever-challenging proposition. Oregon City and Canby elected Representative Kenmer by a large margin last November. Obviously, our residents are not crying out that they feel unrepresented by him. But whoever holds this seat needs to understand why this district is one of the few examples of communities of interest on the current district map. Option 2 plan for Oregon for House District 39 does not radically alter existing lines, does not blatantly move boundaries for political gain, and does not move Representative Sheehan into a gerrymandered district. It does all this and still has a smaller deviation than the Democratic plan. I urge you to stop playing politics with redistricting and drop the ridiculous option number one.
Questions for this panel? Thank you for your testimony. Next we'll have... Oh, Representative Witt is here. Come on up, Representative Witt. Mm-hmm. Representative Boone, are you here to testify as well? And you have one person with you. Do you want to come on up?
Chairs, members of the committee, Brad Witt, state representative from House District 31. I really don't have any testimony to offer this evening. I was just here trying to decipher why it would be that a congressional district boundary would include my front lawn and my neighbor's fence line. These are really not natural boundaries, and I undoubtedly have a community of interest with my neighbor, but beyond that, I'm at a loss as to be able to understand how those district boundaries could have possibly been drawn. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Boone?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. Here I am again. I'm sure you're getting tired of me, and I will be brief. But I'm here again to promote the design that I handed out on one of the first meetings, that basically I think what I'm hearing the most from my constituents in this district is to keep the county of Tillamook whole. And this is important because of all the reasons you've heard before, and I don't think I need to repeat them. We also heard from folks in Washington County that they would prefer to be in an inland district, not a coastal district. And then finally, I have to thank you for something that I have sure been aware of lately, and I'm sure you know way more than I do, though, now about the geography of all of our districts and our state. I've learned of communities that I didn't know of before, and I've learned of the passions of people who have lived in these communities and are, you know, they're very interested in keeping their communities of interest whole, and it's been, I think, an interesting, for me, for my, well, I think this is my fifth time here before you, it's been interesting for me, I'm sure it's been very interesting for you, so thank you for the geography lesson, and I hope you keep Tillamook County whole.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Buck?
Madam Chair, I'm Dale Buck from Tillamook, and I'm a retired Tillamook dairy farmer. And I'll just make it easy. Please keep Tillamook County and House District Number 2, Tillamook County and Senate District 16, and all of Tillamook County and Congressional District Number 5. I know a lot of people in Tillamook, Clatsop, and Columbia County. I like them all, and we want to hang together. And I really appreciate your hard work. It's not an easy task. I know that. And I, too, am glad to see a high school student up here before me. Thank you, committee.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Buck, we also have your written testimony, and that will be part of the record.
Thank you.
Any questions for this panel? No. Thank you for your testimony. And next we have Bill McKee, Carla Axtman, and Jeff Reynolds. One person.
Bill ran out of the room real quick. I think he's going to be back.
Okay, well, we'll call him later then. We'll call up Kimberly Coops. Are you Bill McKee?
Bill McKee took off some plate.
Okay, well, we'll call him when he comes back. We'll take Kimberly Coops Rabble. I'm not sure I got that right. And then we'll take Bill McKee when he comes back. Welcome to the committee.
I'll go ahead and start. My name is Jeff Reynolds. I'm a 17-year resident of Oregon, having spent the last 10 years in Multnomah County. I'm a resident of House District 49 and Congressional District 3. I've previously testified at a joint redistricting committee field hearing at Mount Hood Community College in April. I have a great interest in this process, and I anxiously anticipated the Republican and Democrat plans that would emerge from the first round of bipartisan cooperation. Most of the testimony I heard and most of the testimony that I understand was submitted strongly favored plans that kept communities of common interest together. This was a very popular sentiment regardless of party affiliation. What was presented to the public could not have disappointed me more. Instead of embracing the spirit of bipartisanship that marked the beginning of the legislative session, the Democrat plans for both legislative and congressional districts showed that they had no intention of abiding by ORS 188-010. Indeed, their plan proved that the Democrats had only one intention, to take advantage of their partisan advantage in the courts in the case of congressional redistricting and in the Secretary of State at the state level. The proof of this motivation is easy to see. In the case of the congressional districts, the Democrats still insist on splitting the obvious community of common interest of the city of Portland among three congressional districts. To reiterate, Portland has 15% of the state's population, and under the Democrat plan, will continue to have three congresspeople. This is unacceptable. The alternative plan advanced by the Republicans was far more fair and remedies this ridiculous situation. You may find minor issues over which to quibble, but their plan strives to keep communities of interest together instead of splitting them apart. Let me be clear. Congressional districts 1 and 5 do not belong in Portland or in Multnomah County, period. Multnomah County has very clear, deeply rooted political and geographical boundaries that were thoroughly dismissed in the Democrat plan. Portland absolutely should not be split, as it shares many communities of common interest. One city council, one mayor, one police department, one fire district. The ideal situation in a truly nonpartisan effort would use Multnomah County as the foundation of CD3. All it takes is to make Multnomah County into one single congressional district and to add about 30,000 people from the Milwaukee area. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Carla, welcome to the committee.
Thanks.
My name is Carla Axman. I live in unincorporated Washington County in House District 34 and in Senator Bonamici Senate District. I'm here today to speak about actually House District 34, which sits adjacent to my district and also Congressional District 1. This is the first time I've done this, so I'm a little nervous.
You're doing great.
Sorry. So the reason that I'm here is to talk, first of all, about the suburbs around Hillsborough and the community of interest that is the Hillsborough suburbs. I've lived in this area for, since 1998. And it's really important that that folks who are putting these maps together understand that the city of Hillsborough and these suburbs in the area around Hillsborough, this is a high-tech corridor. These folks have everything in common with folks who are working at Intel and in those businesses around the Intel area that support those high-tech projects that Intel's working on. These are the people that commute on the Sunset Highway every day. I'm one of those people that commute some of the time on the Sunset Highway. These people are coming in from Portland. They're coming in from the Pearl District. They're coming in from all of these areas surrounding the Portland metro area coming in to work at Intel. These people all have a common interest. And they don't have the same interest as folks necessarily who are living out in Banks, who are living out in North Plains. These are farming communities. The people in Helvetia, it's a farming community. They're not the same communities of interest as the Pearl District or even as Inner Hillsborough. When my children were little, which is not that long ago, I used to take them to a park that was right in the Rock Creek area, kind of on the edge of House District 34. And I've walked that district several times as well. This is not Banks. This is not North Plains. This is a suburb, and it deserves to be treated as a whole region, as a whole area, and all of these people deserve the same representation. I would say the same thing about Congressional District 1.
Excuse me, we need to run to the
court. Oh, it's been a call.
So continue, and we'll listen to your testimony. We need to go vote.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. That was weird.
I think it's up here that has the problem, not you.
Okay. Well, that was embarrassing.
And by the way, I'm currently chairing the House committee, but I'm going to turn the gavel over to him. There's a call of the chamber, so they have to run out and vote. So that's what's going on.
It's all good. Thanks. The point
that'd be a lesson to you.
So I'm going to stop with House District 34 since you're bugging out, and I'll talk about Congressional District 1, which is, in fact, in my view, very much should be a part of the Pearl District and Portland metro area. The suburban area where I live absolutely belongs with those people that live on the edge of Portland and even into inner Portland. We all have the same transportation type of interests. We're all worried about density. We're all inside the urban growth boundary. We need to be represented together, and we should not be bifurcated and set aside from the people of Portland. Thanks.
Chairs and members of the committee, thank you for your time today. My name is Kimberly Coops Raybeck, and I am a native Oregonian. I've lived here my entire life, and I am a resident of Hillsborough right now and a recent graduate in politics and government from Pacific University as of 3 days ago. As you know, redistricting is a key factor in what makes our country truly democratic. And as U.S. citizens and citizens of Oregon, we deserve to have representatives in our legislature who represent our communities for everything that we are, our culture, beliefs, and environment. In Hillsborough, we have a suburban community of interest, which embraces Intel campuses, dense residential areas, and new shopping centers such as the streets of Tannisbourne. It is pertinent that the Hillsborough community be represented for what we are, part of the urban metro area. We, like all other Oregonians, deserve to have our views fairly represented in our state legislature, and I fear that if option 2 is chosen, this will not be the case. In option 2, House District 30 lines divide our community and dilute the ability of our culture to be represented because our high-tech and suburban population is included with rural Helvetia, Banks, and North Plains. In this option, the border of House District 30 actually climbs all the way up to Pumpkin Ridge, which, as most of you probably know, is a foothill of the coastal range. These rural communities have very different needs, and neither they nor Hillsborough should have to give up their own identity when they are represented in the legislature. If option two is chosen, there will be a district made up of very two distinct and different cultures, rural and suburban, which will have to compete for fair representation. And as a young woman who grew up in a town of less than 900 people for most of my life and now lives in a town of over 90,000 people, I understand that these two communities are incredibly different and do deserve to have fair representation. So please pass a map that includes Hillsborough boundaries much closer to option one. I understand that there are flaws and pluses with both option one and option two right now, but I do feel that the District 30 boundaries in option one are superior to option two, and it reflects the suburban areas in western Washington County. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'd just like to respond that I largely agree with, since I represent House District 30, I largely agree with you. I'd just like to clarify that the rule is that is not to combine communities of interest, but to not divide communities of interest. So you could have one district that represents 15 different communities of interest, but we shouldn't divide them. So that just that one part of clarification. Second thing I'd like to say is I like this panel sitting together. This is quite interesting. And then the other thing is Ms. Axman, you testified. I acknowledge that the congressional districts should 3, 5, and 1 should come together in Portland metro area somewhere, since 50% of Oregonians, approximately 50%, live in Portland metro. My question is, if you look at Portland metro as a whole, if you zoom out, right now the three come together in the city of Portland, which in my opinion is in the northeast corner of the city of Portland metro. My question is, wouldn't it be better to have them come together in the smack dab middle of Portland metro? Wouldn't it be better to have them come together there instead of the city of Portland? And if so, why not?
Well, I've been looking just briefly at the option three map, which looks like it does take some of the Portland metro area out. Am I correct? Or do we have the option three map up there?
We have seen that, but my question is, why not have them come together in the middle of Portland metro instead of in the city of Portland?
Well, I think if you do that, then I have to ask a question back, because you'll forgive me if I'm not an expert on the maps as much as perhaps you are, because you've worked with them more. But if you do that, if you have them come together inside Portland, then what happens to the people that live in unincorporated Washington County where I live? Where do those people land? Do they land in a different congressional district than, say, the folks inside, like on Germantown Road or along Skyline or even along the edge of the Pearl? Or do they end up in the same congressional district as the folks in the farming communities and the outer areas and aren't represented
in option two? It would be Washington County, essentially, Multnomah County, essentially, and then south of that.
So Washington County would be all by itself
more or less.
Because the reason that I think that that's inappropriate is because that puts the people in the urban areas of Washington County in the same pool, essentially, as people who are out almost to, I would assume that this puts them in with the people that are out towards the coast. Would that be correct? And point south, and then down Yamhill County, and further down from there, and then, I don't know what the map looks like, so I'm guessing.
Well, thank you. That's fine. Thank you.
And so what happens to those folks that are in where I live, in the little suburban areas, we're represented essentially by the same person who's trying to represent farmers and timber folks and folks who are out and doing a completely different jobs and completely different lives and completely different sets of issues than folks who live where I live, who are worried about how they're going to commute on the freeway, for example, in the morning. That's the kind of stuff that divides
that's
us.
That's currently,
I think,
how
in terms
it is,
of that
right? That's fine. I think you've answered my question. Thank you. And I'm going to pass the gavel over to Representative.
Further questions for this group? Thank you, all three of you. Bill McKee, Faith Gabrielson and Daisy Quinonez, please.
One more time on Bill McKee, I guess.
Sure, yeah. Okay. We'll come back to Mr. McKee. So why don't we bring up Stephen Lezak instead.
What were the names again?
Faith Gabrielson, Daisy Quinonez, I think, and Stephen Lezak.
Yeah.
Go ahead when you're ready. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Faith Gabrielson. Good afternoon, the chair and the co-chairs. I live in Gresham, Oregon, and I've also lived in Troutdale, Scappoose. I went to high school in Silverton, and I also work in McMinnville. So I'm well acquainted with Oregon since, like, 1974. I admit that Portland and Silverton may be similar in their choices of mayors, but beyond that, I believe any similarity of things that they may have in common kind of end. Combining Milwaukee with the Portland CD makes far more sense than combining urban Portland with the Banks, North Plains, McMinnville, Silverton, Molalla, Siletz, Toledo, et cetera, as it is under the Democratic maps CDs 1, 3, and 5. I believe that CD 3 should be the only CD in the Portland metro area. I wish that the population was enough that they could have their own CD out without the rest of Multnomah County, i.e. Gresham, but it makes more sense to combine all of Multnomah County than to include other rural counties. The state statute, as you know, states, I probably don't need to repeat it, but that as nearly as practical, should not divide communities of common interest and utilize existing geographic and political boundaries and be connected by transportation links. The proposed Republican map represents political geographic boundaries by keeping the city of Portland and Multnomah County whole. It does not divide communities of common interest. Combining Milwaukee with CD3 to round out the numbers needed would make sense, as they share light rail concerns, 99E, and the Selwood Bridge. That would make 90% or 96% of CD3 in Multnomah County and only 4% outside the county. That would make far more sense than the Democratic map that has a large percentage outside of Multnomah County and percentages of CD1 and CD5 within Multnomah County, in addition to CD3. Why should Portland have representation in three different CDs? Many people choose to live outside of Multnomah County as they do not like the politics of that county. I feel that way, too, and will likely move once my youngest son has graduated from high school. Keep Portland weird and let the rest of the state stay normal. Most of us don't want to be weird. The proposed Democratic map divides Multnomah County and Clackamas County, which is unnecessary. Why would you divide Troutdale into more than one district? House District 49, the Sweetbriar neighborhood, is the oldest modern subdivision of Troutdale and should not be divided from the rest of the city.
We're going to have to ask you to kind of, if you wouldn't mind wrapping up, we're trying to cover everybody's 2 minutes. Thanks.
I hope that you would decide not to split up Multnomah County and let the rural areas that have nothing in common with Portland be a different district, and I hope the legislature has some common sense. And thank you for taking the time to listen to
me. Thank you. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Stephen Lezak. I've lived in southwest Multnomah County all my life, and I've attended Catlin Gable School, which straddles the border between Portland and Beaverton for 14 years. I'm here to testify about a very, very particular issue, which is the proposed redistricting of Congressional District 3 into Multnomah County. I'm here because this plan draws from the assertion that West and East Portland share more commonalities than West Portland and Washington County. This is not the case. As someone who commutes from Portland to Beaverton every single day, I've come to recognize that West Portland and Beaverton are not two separate communities, but rather one group of people with shared interests, lifestyles, and communities. Neighborhoods as well. You can drive across this county line in any number of places. Normally where I drive across is Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway. It's about 2 miles east of Walker Road. You drive across and there's a Taco Bell on your left and there's a Safeway on your right. And other than that, you would never know, except that there's a sign that says, "Welcome to Beaverton," and the population. Other than that, you would never know you're in a new county. And this is ridiculous to me. Half of my friends live in Beaverton, half of my friends live in Portland, and they're not different people. There is one community of interest here, and it is West Portland. One thing I'd like to address is that we're talking about dividing and combining communities of interest. I would agree that Hillsboro and the Pearl District might be different, but they are communities of interest, and we are combining them, which is in keeping with Oregon State Code. But to divide the Beaverton District, many of whose neighborhoods are completely interchangeable, such as the Cedar Hills neighborhood in Beaverton and the Raleigh Hills neighborhood in Portland, are essentially the same. You know, they have major roads. One is Cedar Hills Boulevard and Walker, or you have Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway, and they're very similar communities, and we're splitting them on a completely arbitrary line, which is the Multnomah County line. And even though it's there, it seems arbitrary, it still seems arbitrary, and it doesn't make any sense. I was 7 years old when the lines were last redrawn, and I don't see that much has changed since 10 years ago when I was districted into the first congressional district. No person familiar with the Portland area would honestly assert that Hillsdale has more in common with Troutdale or Gresham than with Beaverton or Hillsboro. Washington County and West Portland have existed as a single community of interest for as long as I can remember and should be represented as such. Thanks for the opportunity to testify today.
Very well timed. Thank you.
Hi, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Daisy Quiñones. I live in East Portland. I am a youth advocate, a Multnomah Youth Commissioner, a volunteer with the Bus Project, and a graduating senior at David Douglas High School, where I was just chosen as most politically active. I am an East Portland girl, and I have been so since the age of 3 when my family moved to Portland from California. I've lived on Southeast 122nd Avenue for almost 10 years, and I currently only live a block from 122nd Avenue. I attend school in East Portland, and I rarely cross the Willamette River, except in the infrequent instances in which my duties as a Multnomah Youth Commissioner require, and when I travel out of town. Nobody who lives on the east side of Portland knows how different our neighborhoods are from downtown, the West Hills, Beaverton, and the other western suburbs. The way our communities are built are simply different. It's a little weird that a river can be a social division, but in the case of Multnomah County, it unquestionably is. And just to wrap up quickly, when you pass from East Portland into Gresham or Troutdale, you don't really notice. East Portland is very similar to these other eastern suburbs. But you definitely notice when you cross the river to West Portland and Beaverton and Hillsdale and Hillsboro. So I hope you consider these differences and the living situation on the East Portland side of Multnomah County when you finally draw district lines. And please recognize these two divides between East Portland and West Portland. And thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today.
Thank you, all three of you. Any questions from the committee? Representative Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess it's so you're saying that it's divided because of the different type of people that live there?
There are different interests. I feel that the West Portland has common interests with Hillsboro, Hillsdale, et cetera, while Eastern Portland has common interests with Troutdale, Gresham, et cetera.
Follow up with me.
Comment on that for a sec?
I would suggest that another, maybe it's not the types of people we're talking about, but a lot of it is going to be with demographics, socioeconomic statuses. You look at the differences in school districts between, say, Sunset High School and David Douglas High School, and they're very, very different. People are worried about different things. The city planning is very different. So I don't think we're trying to say that West Siders and East Siders are different kinds of human beings. But I think the issues on their minds are different.
Follow-up, if I may. East side of the freeway, west side of the freeway, Portland City Schools? Same school district?
Well, East Portland also includes Park Rose and David Douglas.
It's Portland City Schools, whether you're on the mm-hmm. east side or the west side of the...
Yes, except...
Okay. Follow-up, if I may. Fairless Square goes across the river into Lloyd Center, east side, west side. Same?
Yes. Does it? It does. It goes from Lloyd Center to, I believe,
Outside PSU, maybe.
Follow-up if I may, Mr. Chair. School district in Beaverton, same as school district in West Portland. Fairless Square, does it go out to Beaverton transportation?
No, the Fairless Square does not.
Thank you.
Further questions?
No, I don't have a question, Mr. Chair, but I just wanted to explain for those people who came in since the beginning of the hearing that we have a Senate floor session going on, and the reason we got up and ran is because we had to. We were called. There's something called the call of the Senate, and we had to go vote on bills. So I just want the panel to understand that it isn't because we didn't want to listen to your testimony, but we had to go to the Senate floor and vote and come back. So I want to apologize on behalf of the senators who had to get up and leave during your testimony.
Madam Chair. Another way to explain that is we had to go to the principal's office.
Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thanks, all three of you.
The principal on the east side or the west side?
In the middle.
Where are we?
See if he's ready.
Has Bill McKee come back into the room? Second call for Bill McKee.
Oh,
no?
Third call.
Pay taxes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then we go to we're after Daisy's. Matthew Keating and Jesse Bontico and Ken Gates. Please. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you for having us. Good evening, members of the committee.
If you'll start with your name, please.
My name is Matthew Keating, 2046 Blackburn, Eugene. I wanted to commend our two high school students who gave testimony earlier. They made a very clear point in regards to education, in regards to communities of interest. And Representative Lindsay, who unfortunately is absent right now, mentioned something in respect to the lines between House District 8 and House District 14 in regards to the University of Oregon, which is roughly 4 to 6 miles away from the particular border in which we were debating about 5 feet or not. And we looked it up on a map, and I'm alluding to the Proposal 1, House District Proposal 1 versus House District Proposal 2. It appears Proposal 2, it appears to be 5 to 10 feet, so yeah, he may be right. It certainly is it's not even a pitching wedge, it's a putter away, and it is rather obnoxious that a state representative would be so ridiculously gerrymandered, for lack of a better term, out of her house district. Moreover, the balanced approach in regards to the House District 8 and House District 11, I'm at the University of Oregon, on Kincaid as a natural boundary, as opposed to the gerrymandering we see on Agate in the map 2. I just would like to underscore to this committee and anyone who may be listening, take a balanced, reasonable approach, please, in regards to redistricting. Education is a very clear community of interest. At Lane Community College, 50% of the food that we eat at Lane Community College is within 50 miles of where we live. So a spoke and wheel approach that blends urban and rural interests seems very clearly to me to be a community of interest, and I thank the committee for their time.
Thank you for your testimony.
My name is Jesse Bonacue. Thank you all for the work you've put in this so far, and I'm not the first person to say it, but we all know trying to figure out, look at those maps and figure out what to say is also a challenge. I can only imagine what you went through. I'm here to speak on behalf of supporting the Congressional District Plan 3 and against Congressional District Plan 2. I live in Southeast Portland, and in my daily life, I probably spend at least 90% of my time on the east side of the river. I vaguely ever, and only generally when forced to, cross the west side. And, you know, in general, and that's my daily life. I go out to 82nd far more than I go to downtown Portland, even though it's farther, much farther away by probably 3 or 4 miles. So again, there's just that the river forms our natural separation, east and west region. That's how we think about it. That's how I live. And I literally, I live just on the other east side of the river, but I go to 82nd far more, or out to Mall 205 far more than I ever go downtown Portland. But what also upsets me a little bit about Plan 2 is the fact that it isolates Multnomah from the rest of the region. I'm very proud that we of the metro system, that we have a government that expands beyond the city, and that we're a region. We consider ourselves a region. We work together as a region. I understand there has to be a division. That goes back to the fact that the river, for everybody who lives in Portland, Multnomah County, is a natural dividing line. It is what divides our lives. So please, as we move forward, I really highly request and recommend that you work from Plan 3 to find your final solution. That it much more closely honors and represents my daily life, the daily life of my friends and family who live in this and live in the community, and I hope that you take that into consideration as you move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Next is Mr. Gates.
Yes, good evening. My name is Ken Gates, and I am the immediate past chair of the South Columbia County Chamber of Commerce. And our board has voted to say to you that we do not want to see our county divided, as was done in CD 1 and 2 maps. So I am here representing one of many voices you're about to hear from South Columbia County, that we want to remain whole and be associated with our friends and neighbors up in Clatsop, more than we do with urban downtown Portland. I also have brought with me some letters from the mayor of the city of Columbia City and from the city council of the city of Scappoose, who also ask that you not divide this community of interest called Columbia County. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And Mr. Gates, I did want to inform you that in option 3, Columbia County is back in.
Thank you, yes.
So everybody knows that, so that's another option. Senator Telfer.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. A question for the young man from Eugene. For clarity, did I hear you say, regarding spokes or something, combining rural and urban into one district?
There are a few house districts. House District 11 is a very good example that blends rural and urban interests. And in regards to education, nutrition, and economic interests of the 21st century, it seems to me that it makes the most sense to balance and blend rather than district in sort of a Berg style system. Our communities will be certainly well represented if there is a blend of individuals as opposed to segregating individuals. And I think that approach, as we see in the proposed map 2 of House District 14, which is West Eugene into Junction City, House District 11, which clearly goes all the way up into to Linn County, I think these approaches offer the widest variety of representation in regards to economic, educational, and nutritional spheres of influence, mutual interests.
Follow up. So you're proposing a blend versus recognizing communities of interest, but instead of that, blending communities of interest.
No, ma'am. I'm actually strongly supportive of the plan that doesn't gerrymander Representative Hoyle out of her current district, and instead, I'm much more supportive of the plan that recognizes the rural and urban interests are, in regards to education, nutrition, and the economy, are very clearly communities of interest, and I would be strongly supportive of the plan that, I believe it's plan, unless it's plan 1, Jesse, is that right? Yeah, plan 1, it seems to be the most sensible approach in regards to the Senate districts and House districts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you for your testimony. Next we have Phil, it looks like Barlow, City Council of St. Helens. Tony Hyde and Aaron Felton, please. Welcome to the committee. And if you'll start, please, by stating your name. Doesn't matter who goes first.
go ahead. Madam Chair, my name is Aaron Felton. I'm here as a resident of House District 20 and as specifically a resident of West Salem. And I signed up in relation to Plan 1 and 2, but really I'm just here to speak about my own House District 20 and not about being in favor of one plan or the other. And I have to say that if you only have 2 minutes to talk about being proud of your home area, that's certainly never enough time. And I just want to say I'm very proud to be a resident of West Salem and certainly proud to be a resident of Polk County. And I'm really here to urge and the members of this committee simply not to support a proposal that splits West Salem into two separate house districts, and just to consider that West Salem is a community of common interests. And I'll spare you going through a tour of West Salem, but just outline some of what I consider to be our common interests, because we are a growing community. We have a newer high school. I won't say it's brand new, but we're growing together as West Salem Titans. We have basically two separate places where everyone shops that have basically become our places where we gather together. I mean, Roth's and West Salem in their public meeting rooms are where the Rotary holds its meetings. It's where other places hold their meetings, where people gather. I see the yellow light there. So I would just urge you not to divide the district into two separate districts at this point. Right now, having one representative works for our district, and I would urge you to continue doing that. I defer to those who've talked about having two representatives being good for them. I think that has some merit for them. I think for us, it works having one representative. I thank the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next.
Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Tony Hyde, Columbia County Commissioner Chair, and you have some testimony in front of you with regards to Columbia County's position. There's two pieces I wanted to talk about. First of all, the congressional district, and I understand that option one is pretty much off the table, but just want to reiterate that option one really does not work for Columbia County in that it bifurcates the county. We have a very strong common interest, as we have the longest stretch of Columbia River of any county in the state of Oregon, and that is our body of interest in terms of representation. So we're very neutral with option three and could support that, but option one clearly does not work for us with regards to congressional districts. And I also want to say that in terms of interest, we have an economic development district that's a federally recognized economic development, EDA district, that includes Columbia, Clatsop, Tillamook, and portions of Washington County, which was the first economic development district that actually took in a portion of a county instead of all of a county. And we did that because it was an area of interest in terms of commonality around rural issues. And we really do have rural issues in this, that 3.5 or 3.2 county region, Columbia, Clatsop, and Tillamook. So I would just ask you to consider that. And lastly, I just want to compliment you on taking on this very difficult task. So thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Co-Chair, committee members, my name is Phil Barlow. I'm a city councilor in St. Helens, Oregon. I want to say, first off, all the time and effort you guys have put in, very very interactive. I want to say I was able to go online, and that was very impressive, and I want to say to your staff, thank you so much. As you see in front of you, our letter from the city, you know, our biggest thing is I've lived here all my life, 38 years old, life member of St. Helens, love my town. The thing that bothers me is we're a small county, about 50,000 people. And when we talk about dividing our community, it's a community. It's not when I talk about shopping local, I talk about Columbia County is local, not just my city of St. Helens that I have a business in. So, but when I think of Portland, trust me, Representative Blumenauer is awesome. I got a picture with my arm around him. He's a great man. I think he would do great for our district. But I think, as the commissioner, County Commissioner Hyde said, option three is definitely a lot better for us. And
And we love Portland. We love them all. But they're different than us. We're a lot different. And that's it. It's nothing against any of the members because, you know, it's all different. I mean, we have people hammering us because we want to put a dog park in. So I understand you guys are on a whole other level than us poor little counselors. And I appreciate all the hard work you guys have to go through. And again, I want to say on behalf of the city council mayor and myself, Phil Barlow, thank you for letting me speak today.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's just so we have a couple guys from Columbia County here. I wonder if you have any comment on the different legislative plans and how the different plans for State House and Senate districts treat Columbia County. Any concerns there? Thoughts?
Madam Chair, Representative Garrett, I would just say that having the Pearl represent Columbia County in terms of the Senate district doesn't work for us. And it's not that we don't have commonality with the Pearl. We're all Oregonians. But there's clearly a difference between the urban and rural divide there. And we would feel better represented if it was going to the north rather than into the metropolitan statistical area.
Okay. Oh, Representative Cameron.
Thank you. Commissioner Hyde, you mentioned something about a federal economic development area. What counties were those?
Madam Chair, Representative Cameron, that is called COPAC, which is Columbia, Clatsop, Tillamook, and Western Washington County. Okay. And I do have a particular affinity in that I am chair of that district.
Oh, great. Then you're the expert. I could ask a question here. So based on that, would you say that Tillamook has more of a common interest with Columbia, Clatsop, and possibly Western Washington County than it does with the Willamette Valley and Salem?
Madam Chair, Representative Cameron, I absolutely would say yes to that. I'm hoping that Tillamook doesn't find that offensive. I have not had that discussion with my colleagues.
So looking at the congressional maps up there, the one we're looking at right now, that congressional map there would probably have a little bit more in common with what you're talking about. Then can we switch to the other one that shows Tillamook CD5 going all the way over to the Willamette Valley?
Madam Chair, Representative Cameron, I would absolutely concur with that.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we have Alvin Ma, or May, Jessica Lee, and Scott Starr. Bill McKee back yet? We keep trying. Welcome to the committee.
Chairs and members of the committee, my name is Alvin Ma. I'm with the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, or APANO. I'll keep my comments brief because Jessica here will explain quite a bit more in terms of the numbers. I do want to just say right now off the bat that Plan 1 is a stronger fit for our community. Plan 2 will divide our community and therefore dilute our representation, and that's something that we are very, very seriously concerned about. We do have a couple of proposals regarding Plan 1, which Jessica here will discuss, but I do also want to mention the fact that we do refer to ourselves, Asian Pacific Americans, as a single community. We represent over 50 ethnic communities, and yet we all concern ourselves with bettering our health, bettering our educational opportunities, and we are seeking better representation and for the ability to just contribute more to Oregon and really be productive members of society. Thank you very much for your time, and not only time now, but also just time in the redistricting efforts, which is a colossal effort, to say the least.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, members of the redistricting committee. My name is Jessica Lee. I am also with APANO. So thank you for this opportunity, first of all, for us to provide our recommendations on the redistricting plans. Alvin has already said, as he said, we do support Plan 1. But first, I'd like to establish our two specific requests for redistricting. And And then also establish our community as a community of interest to support our two requests. So first of all, our goal is to have the API Asian Pacific Islander community represented at 20% in two House districts, and we believe this is a reasonable and prudent goal for equitable redistricting, especially since the API community has increased by 40% in the last 10 years. So we are making two specific requests in response to Plan 1 of the House proposal. Our specific request involves, number one, District 33, which includes part of Washington and Multnomah County, and two, District 48, which includes part of Multnomah and Clackamas County. So these two districts exemplify the unity of our shared values and history, and also represents the demographic diversity of the API community. So on balance, these two districts characterize the economic, educational, and political spectrum of our community. So in talking about House District 33, House District 33 has the largest API population in the state at 17.2%, which is close to our goal of 20% representation within the district. So including the southeast section of current District 31 in a new District 33, that would help ensure effective representation of the growing API population in the metro area and the state. There is great diversity in the API population, as Alvin has already stated. However, residents in this area tend to have higher incomes and more postgraduate education than the API community residing in House District 48. So in talking about House District 48, the second highest concentration of the API population is in House District 48 at 14.6%. Currently, the Lentz, in the proposed Plan 1, the only concern is that the Lentz neighborhood has been divided, and that is a key section of the API community where there is a high concentration of APIs there. A new District 48 that absorbs the northeast corner of District 39 could potentially increase the representation of APIs to 20%. This change in district borders would also increase the representation of the API community in the Senate District. Also, Marshall High School serves both District 48 and northern part of District 39 and also has the second highest API population at 18% in all of Portland Public Schools. Combining the northeast corner of 39 into District 48 will help serve the interests of vibrant API-based community that includes Tongan, Samoan, Southeast Asian, and East Asians. Clearly, the API community in both districts is very diverse, but in contrast to those in District 33, the API community members in District 48 have increased needs for social support and tend to be relatively recent immigrants.
And Jessica, your time has run out. We have your written testimony, so if you wouldn't mind just making
sure,
a few comments
to
wrap up.
Sure, yeah. I think we just wanted to, we were hoping to have four minutes, but go ahead, please.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay. Well, we have your written testimony. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're trying to really keep to the time limit so everyone gets a chance to testify. And we'll hear from you, and then we'll take questions.
Good day, Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Mark Otned. I serve as Public and Government Affairs Director for the City of Wilsonville. I am here today before you in place of City Councilor Scott Starr, who could not attend due to last-minute business issues. I'm here to express the position of the Wilsonville City Council pertaining to legislative and congressional redistricting. As a matter of principle, the city supports a redistricting plan that maintains the city as one community of common interest as defined by law and opposes a plan that may divide our community between districts. The City of Wilsonville supports legislative option redistricting number two with minor modifications. The city's support for option two with slight changes is based on the principle that option two keeps Wilsonville united as one community of interest with consistent representation by both one member of the House, District 26, and one member of the Senate in District 13. Option 1, on the other hand, splits the entire southern portion of Wilsonville away from the main community, unfairly dividing our community of common interest. Option 1 splits off the city into different districts, approximately 8,000 residents who reside in South Wilsonville and Charbonneau, from the 11,500 residents in the remaining portions of the city. There's an attachment that has a map that shows these various populations of Wilsonville. The city respectfully requests a slight modification of the district boundaries as shown by option two to include two areas adjacent to the city that lie within the urban growth boundary. These Wilsonville UGB expansion areas include the 180-acre Frog Pond residential area to the east and the 595-acre Basalt Creek industrial area to the northwest. The city notes that option one did place these UGB expansion areas within the primary district. These are shown in attachment number two. Our support for option number two is based upon the key redistricting principles of utilizing existing geographic or political boundaries in that it would keep the city together as one unit,
Number two, to not divide communities of common interest. The city feels that our residents share very much a common identity. It's a very fast-growing city where we have quite a few number of residents who've located in recent years. The city has felt so strongly about maintaining the common community that in 2004, the city leaders arranged to trade and swap land between the Sherwood School District and the Westland Wilsonville so all students in the Villebois development of Wilsonville could attend together. And number three, we seek transportation lines. Transportation is uniting their community, particularly when it comes to I-5, which it runs in the middle of the community. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions for this panel? Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is for the Epano group. And you said you're in favor of map one. Can we go to Lane County map and specifically, if I understand this right, the density of the population is the dark blue is the denser the population.
Yes.
of the group we're trying to identify. When I look at option in Lane County, when I look at option one versus option two, and we specifically look at House District 16.
Not Lane County.
Well, what is it? It says Lane County on it.
That way.
Yeah.
Which one are we looking at?
Redistricting option two, Lane County. Impact of Asian Pacific Islander population. It's the third page from the back of the presentation. Do we have different presentations in our hands?
We have different pieces of paper.
Unfortunately, these are somewhat poorly labeled. There are several ones that have the same title and yet actually feature different areas of the map.
16.
So what you're looking for, I believe, is the... Or are you looking at the fourth page back?
Yes, I'm with you.
Or the third page back?
Kevin, that's Lynn County.
It should say Lynn County.
It says Lane on it.
Yeah, but it's Lynn County because...
Third page from the back of the packet.
Our apologies, yeah.
Third and fourth are both Lane.
That's probably Corvallis, Albany.
Okay. So just...
You're looking at,
I'm just trying to get at, you said you're in favor of option one. You didn't clarify in any specific area of the state. You're saying throughout the whole state you're in favor of option one?
We're in favor of option one, and then currently we're just, so option two kind of shows where our density is and where the lines would divide us. Option one, I think, we're in favor of, specifically if the proposals for districts 33 and 48 were to be incorporated.
All right, so a follow-up, if I may, Madam Chair, I just want to make sure these maps are what I'm looking at here. So is the density in option one, and if this is Lynn County, House District 16,
mm-hmm.
versus option two, House District 16, is it not denser in option two based on this map?
Yes, it is. We just made these versions as proposals or possible proposals for these counties. But what we were trying to focus on was House District 33 and 48, mostly in Multnomah County and Washington counties.
Follow up, if I may. So are these your maps or are these
Yes, these are
their maps. Redistricting option two that I'm looking at, it looks like it's redistricting option two up there, is it not?
These are our proposals for the maps for these counties. We're just showing where the API communities reside within these counties.
Madam Chair, can we ask a clarification? Did you use the overlay of what were option one or option two maps and just put in the demographics showing the what would be the ethnic percentage? That's what it appears.
So just if I can clarify right now, what map are we looking up on there?
Wayne?
Option one,
correct? Which is what you said you were in favor of, but when I look at your overlay on here versus option two, if you can go to option two, District 16.
Did our cartographer not label this correctly?
I believe that they are mislabeled. That's unfortunate.
Well,
can we follow up with you?
My point is option two is a lot more dense on this map that you gave me in the Corvallis area than it is in option one.
Yes.
correct.
And if we go on to the next one in Jackson County, if I may, Madam Chair.
Oh, they're right.
If we go to Jackson County, you look at House District 6. And in option 1 versus option 2, it seems like it's a little more dense in option 2.
That's correct.
So it is.
Are you, now is your question?
I heard your testimony said you're in favor of option 1, but yet you're trying to protect a population that on option 2 in other maps, that population would be more protected.
Right. Well, these are our versions. These are what we were looking at.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next panel is Rebecca Roth, Gail Holmes, and Eugene Schoenheit. For those of you keeping track, after this we'll have one more panel, unless Mr. McKee comes back. No signs of him yet.
He's up voting on the Senate floor, probably.
Welcome to the committee. Doesn't matter. Here, we'll take them in order. Rebecca Roth, Gail Holmes, and then Eugene Schoenheit.
Yes, in the middle.
Yeah, you be first.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
All right. My name is Rebecca Roth, and I came here tonight to reply to a question that was given to me when I was here last week about one of my sources, because I was here trying to encourage the Democrats to work with the Republicans and not to walk out of the process or just blow it up. And one of my sources was the Statesman Journal of July of 2001 that says, House Republicans tried to reach a redistricting compromise to avoid a veto by the governor, but House Democrats were not motivated to give an inch. They knew Kitzhaber would veto any plan deemed unfair by the Democrats, putting Bradbury in charge. When House Republicans finally figured out that House Democrats never planned to compromise, they advanced their plan. It passed, but facing a veto. So that's out of the Statesman Journal. And that's what I would like to not see happen again. To me, it looks like there's that possibility again. The legislature is supposed to be in charge of this, and it keeps getting kicked over to the Secretary of State. And we need some cooperation so that we can have the people's interests be represented rather than party interests. You guys work for us. We're the ones who are supposed to be represented, and we pay your salaries. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Gail Holmes, please.
Hello, my name is Gail Holmes. I'm a resident of Westland, and I testified at Community College, Clackamas Community College. And I'm coming here tonight to just make sure that you understand why Westland should be kept together with Wilsonville. We share school districts, and there's a lot of common bond with that. And I just also wanted to make sure that, you know, that we really do look at the community of common interest. Communities connected by school districts should not be split up. There's a lot of relationships with school districts, as you well know, as your own children grow up and maybe when you were growing up as a child, that I really would hate to see splitting up that way. And I really like the option 2 for the CD district. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm in the 5th district, and when you look at the boundaries, and right now with it going way up along the coastal area, to me, I just don't see the common ground there. So anyway, you have my testimony handed out to you, And that's all I have to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Schoenheit.
Hello, I'm Eugene Schoenheit. Thank you for allowing me to testify. I'm here to talk about a couple of your maps. I'll start off with option number one for House District 40. I don't have it in front of me, but between Milwaukee and Gladstone, basically you've cut House District 40 in half. This is the community of Oak Grove. About 20,000 people live there. It's a community. It's going to possibly become a city, and therefore, you know, it's really a bad idea to divide it. Also, part of the problems with dividing District 40 in half at that point is it splits water districts, splits sewer districts. It adds two school districts to the area, and it adds another city, the city of Oregon City plus Gladstone. So what I recommend is something, I say something like district, your option number two for District 40, and that's pretty much fair for what it does for District 40, but it has two problems. Going up to District 41, the city of Milwaukee, if you look at how District 40 comes up to the north and Milwaukee's on the west, Milwaukee's actually moving to the east. And basically they're putting in new sewer systems, and in order to become part of the hook up to the sewer system, you have to join the city of Milwaukee or be annexed to the city of Milwaukee. Therefore, House District 41 should be moving to the east in that area, and I said this at the last hearing, but somehow it got bypassed. Going down to House District 40 now, it needs more population. Its logical answer is to move the boundaries east into the unincorporated Clackamas area, which is still areas of common, you know, interest. I mean, it's unincorporated, it's, say, rural and common, you know, just a common interest area. And my last point on congressional district number five, House District 40 was in it, and it's kind of funny how District 5 on the map cuts that cuts right through the middle of the district. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions? And we do have your written testimony from all of you, and that will be part of the record.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we have a final panel of Herb Chow, Dale Seal, and Bill Ware. And Bill McKee. Still not here. Is Bill McKee here? No. All right, I'm giving up.
Bill McKee, officially, I called him. He said he had to go pay his taxes, and he had to do a job, working on a job, so he can finally close the deal.
All right, and he can, if you can get back in touch with him and let him know, he can email testimony if he'd like. Welcome to the
Thank
committee. Somebody like to start? Mr. Chow, we'll start with you.
You want to go?
He's going to hand out
okay.
some
things. Doesn't matter
too.
Who starts, but we need somebody to start.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. I'm Dale Seal. I'm from Happy Valley, and I believe that I probably represent those who are... Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine. In fact, if you back up...
Have Bill start, and then maybe she can distribute the maps to you folks.
And if you back up from the microphone, we can hear you. Okay. If you get too close, it's muffled.
There's no monitor, so it's hard to hear.
Okay. So
we can
Bill,
hear you just
why don't you have him go first? Bill.
Is it okay if Bill goes?
Sure. That's fine.
Yes.
We just need somebody to start.
No worries.
We don't care who.
Okay. My name is Bill Ware. I'm a resident of Damascus. I've been in Oregonian for about 40 years, 35 of them in Damascus. And I'm here to support option two. In our area, in Clackamas County, we just recently had an election with the concerning the comp plan with our city. We're growing, and people looking for direction in that at this particular time. And the comp plan involved quite a bit with how much reach Portland and Metro was going to have into where we live, and how we identify with ourselves, our common interests. And so, just using that as a small example, looking at District 51, where there possibly could be this reach further by Multnomah County into Clackamas County, we just feel that our area of common interest in Clackamas County is more more with that county than Multnomah County. We have quite a variety. We do have our urban areas, but we have a lot of farmland, a lot of single-family residents. I'm getting the yellow light, so that means somebody else here.
You have 20 seconds.
Go to the red. Go to the red.
Okay. But in any event, although we appreciate the values of Multnomah County, we certainly would like to retain our own. So I'll turn over.
Okay. May I start now?
Please
DLCO
do.
Happy
start
Valley.
With your name.
DLCO Happy Valley. And I was hoping that the representative was here who asked the question to the one panel member about an hour ago where he said, if you can't, well, he didn't ask this, but I could tell he kind of wanted to ask this. If we can't agree that Portland is a community of interest, then maybe all of ORS 188 ought to be thrown out. Because 10 years ago, I went down to the Supreme Court hearing with Bradbury and the judge, one of the Supreme Court judges, asked Reynolds, who was Bradbury's attorney, counsel, how can we tell the voters that Bradbury didn't have to obey ORS 188? And when I heard that, I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. When I heard that, I go, uh-oh, because I lived in Happy Valley, which I knew the people, the sentiment of Happy Valley, they did not live in Portland on purpose. And there again, once again, they might choose to go visit there, but they knew that if they voted for a tax increase, they would pay for it. If they voted for a sheriff's levy, they wouldn't call the Portland police to come down and represent them or the Portland Fire District. They would be paying for what they got, whether it was schools or whatever, and they would get a chance to vote on it. And recently, I wanted to bring some evidence because I want to prove that I was right and Bradbury was wrong, and I hope that if Secretary of State Brown hears this, and I hope she hears this very well. We just had evidence that I want to present tonight, and I know I only have a little bit of time, but it was 7 days ago at exactly the same time, 7 o'clock, that people were casting their ballots. And in Clackamas County, they heard the facts, and they made their judgment based on the facts. And I will tell you what the verdict was on the Clackamas County citizens. Keep our own money in Clackamas County. No bailouts for Portland. No Portland tax on Clackamas. And the last one, because this was the campaign of the opponents of those who didn't want a Portland tax on Clackamas, good neighbors, they build their own bridges. They don't go pick their neighbors' pockets to build their bridges. And once they understood that Sam Adams and Jeff Cogan were coming into Clackamas County to put a vehicle registration fee on Clackamas residents, they said, 2-1, no thanks.
Hey, Mr. Chow, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for allowing us to speak today and share our views on the redistricting. I do support option 2. I believe it's a fairer option for the state. Politicians often get blamed with being the cause of all the problem, but really it's we the people that are a lot of the problem. Many of us, not me, hopefully too much, don't study the issues. We go by 30-second sound bites, and that puts you in a very compromised position. We're asking that if anybody thinks politicians that do their job, that act as statesmen and women, are not important, just look at Iraq, Afghanistan, or some of the other Middle East countries where they blow each other up to settle disputes. We'd like to avoid that in this country. I'd like to recommend that we always keep the cities together, the communities, and the common community of interest. Now, oftentimes, this is confused with myopic views. I think that when it comes to Clackamas County and Multnomah County, and there are a lot of fine folks in Multnomah County, so I don't begrudge Multnomah County. I lived there for over 33 years. I moved to Clackamas County. It is so different in Clackamas County. People take responsibility for their actions. They try to educate themselves on what the issues are. Just to give you an example to Bill, if you look at this map you have in front of you, it shows 48, House District 48, split between Multnomah County at the top and Clackamas County at the bottom. That is the largest case of gerrymandering I could possibly think of. The interests are totally different. And just to give you an idea on how an example of this here, the vehicle registration fee that took place, in Multnomah County, they did absolutely nothing. Everybody's paying it, $19. Clackamas County fought against it. Why? Because they're asking us to pay for a structure in Multnomah County. Then they were going to take the $22 million after we put it in there, take $20 million out, pump it over to the light rail project, the Milwaukee light rail project. Those things are extremely unacceptable in Clackamas County. And I'd like you to consider seriously supporting option two, because I believe it better represents the district, keeping the cities, the counties, the best possible together. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for this panel? Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony, and all the written testimony will be entered into the record. Is there anyone else who is here who wants to testify who has not had an opportunity? There has been some written testimony that's been entered into the record since our last hearing, and I'm going to name, I'm just going to list by name and location, and I'll try to do this fairly quickly, just to have it into the record. The written testimony has been received and entered into the public record. Testimony from Matt Miller, Jan Waite from Ashland, Shelley Crystal McIntyre, Portland, Cindy Stockton, St. Helens, Alden Rollins, Frank Roa, Hermiston, Kenneth Forsyth, Lapine, Judy Forsyth, Lapine, Kevin Malmstrom, Hillsborough, Janet Lean, West Salem, Becky Lemler, Elmira, Wayne Law, Hillsborough, Mayor John Kinski from the City of Banks, Mayor Jack Hoffman, City of Lake Oswego, Tim Grimes, Councilors of City of St. Helens, Councilors of City of Milwaukee, Martha Bauman, Lapine, Tom and Gail Burlow, Lapine, Doug Helton, West Salem, David Dowling, Salem, Margaret Sather, West Salem, Garrett Van Horn, Independence, Mark Gilbert, Salem, Dorothy Garrett, Monmouth, Lou Drivier, McMinnville, Delmer and Joanne A. Beischer, West Salem, Liz Toy, Salem, Sean Smith, Roseburg, Mayor Sharon Canopa, Albany, Cindy Kolpovich, Salem, Katie Riley, Hillsborough, Roger Roca, Albany, Clackamas County Commissioner Jim Bernard, Alan Connor Tigard, Jamie and Velma Rodriguez, Hillsborough, Sierra Louder, Shabnell Tillamook, Robert Kaiser, Port of St. Helens, Rick Brissett, Lincoln City, Karen Packer, Hillsborough, Mark Sturbra, Portland, Daniel Beck, Lincoln City, Mark McKelvey, Coos Bay, Lee Evans, Newport, Brunetta Ling, St. Helens, Sandra Peterson, Lapine, Cheryl Young, Columbia City, Annette Lathrop Joseph, Sharon Cannon, Lincoln City, the Commissioners of Columbia County, the Hillsborough Chamber of Commerce, the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, Kendall Taylor, Alan Pollock, West Salem, Darlene Hooley, Portland, Ed Johnson, Astoria, Joshlene Pollock, West Salem, Mayor Lou Ogden, City of Tualatin, the Portland City Council, Scott Starr, Councilor from City of Wilsonville, Patricia Day, Yamhill County, Dennis Creel from Hampton Resources, Christine Ruck, Lebanon, Olivia Clark, TriMet, Kathleen Blair O'Brien, Yamhill County, Charles Wagner, Washington County, Donald Weibert, Forest Grove, Shadley Weigman, McMinnville, Dale Buck, Cloverdale, Rob Rivell, Bend, Dan Meek from the Independent Party of Oregon, Eric Anderson, Troutdale, Stephen Lezak, Multnomah County, Rennie Ferris, Newport, and Winnie Savory from Canby. So we have our homework cut out for us, committee. So that's all the testimony that has been submitted since the last redistricting meeting. Anyone else here to testify? All right, thank you all so much for your attention. I want to let people know who are listening that you can still email testimony into the committee at the email address that's on the handout or that is on the website. And with that, I will close the Senate Committee on Redistricting.
Close the House Committee on Redistricting.
Perfect.